Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts now and always be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Now, as per your pew booklet, it says Peter is preaching. Clearly, you can see I'm not Peter. Peter is unwell and Wendy has come down with COVID. And so you have me. But it is good to be here this morning. The day of Pentecost is always a great celebration for the church. We gather together each year on this day to hear the story of the birth of the church told in Acts 2. When the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles like the rush of a violent wind, with tongues as of fire rested on each of them, people from all nations, hearing the apostles speaking in their own language, and more than 3,000 responding by being baptized into Christ. It is an amazing story to hear again the miracle of Pentecost. When Peter yesterday rang me and asked me if I had a sermon on Pentecost that I will be able to pull out and preach, I remember I was asked to preach at Pentecost in 2022, and I came down with COVID. I don't know what the connection between COVID and Pentecost. Anyway, this morning, I am going to be reading a sermon from one of the priests from St. Paul's Cathedral. Some of you may know his name is the Reverend Christopher Caroline. This is his sermon, which I will be reading. In the wonderful drama of the gospel stories that are recorded for us by the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right at the beginning, or at least very near the beginning, each writes concerning the herald of the Savior, John the Baptist. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, John was the one who was preparing the way of the Lord and making his way straight. You will recall that prior to the commencement of Jesus' ministry, John appeared in the wilderness, calling people to repent, to turn away from their sin, and be baptized because the kingdom of God is near. It was John who first identified Jesus as a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And it was Jesus of whom John spoke when he said, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." The day of Pentecost that we celebrate today was a fulfillment of that prophecy of John. Because on that occasion, 50 days after the Passover celebration, during which Jesus' death and burial and resurrection had occurred, the baptism, or washing, if you like, by the Holy Spirit occurred for the very first time for the disciples. It is important to understand that this was not the first appearance of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been active in the world since creation, when we are told the Spirit of God moved over the face of the deep. The action of the Spirit of God is mentioned in many places in the Old Testament. And indeed, in the Gospel accounts, it is the Holy Spirit who came upon Mary to bring about her pregnancy with Jesus, even though she was a virgin. It was the Holy Spirit who enabled Zechariah to prophesy at the birth of John the Baptist. We read that the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove at Jesus' baptism. And you might recall that when Jesus appeared to his disciples on the shore of Lake Galilee after his resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So it is not correct to say that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to the church for the first time. What is accurate is that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given to the church in a special way with a specific purpose. In Acts 1, 4 and 5, Luke records for us the words of Jesus to his disciples just before his ascension. Luke wrote, "While staying with them, Jesus ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." The gift of the Holy Spirit that they would receive would be baptism in the Holy Spirit. At its root meaning, baptism simply means washing. So Jesus was saying that they would be washed through with the Holy Spirit. Then he added, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So the first three things I think we need to note about the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is, firstly, it was a washing, a baptism by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit empowered those who are baptized by him. Thirdly, this power enables Christian women and men to be witnesses to Jesus. He enables us to tell others the good news of Jesus, not only where we live, but indeed everywhere, even to the ends of the earth. The baptism by the Holy Spirit on this first occasion was dramatic. Certainly, the power that was promised was suddenly evident as Peter stood up and boldly proclaimed the gospel, just as Jesus had said he would. Peter became a witness to Jesus, and many, 3,000, we are told, responded to his testimony and received baptism themselves on that very day. This baptism with the Holy Spirit is given to all believers. It is given to you and to me, and the resulting power to witness for Jesus is also ours. We do not need to worry that we are not clever enough or eloquent enough to witness for Jesus, because witnessing does not occur through our cleverness or because of our eloquence. It occurs because of the power that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, living in and through us. I would like a dollar for every time a person said to me in my life, "Show me God, and I will believe in God." You and I know that we can't show a person God, but that does not mean that God does not exist. We can't show a person the wind either. You can't show a person air, but that does not mean that they don't exist. What we can do is show a person what wind does. Wind blows leaves on a windy day. Wind moves a yacht along on the water. Wind keeps a kite flying high in the sky. You can't see the wind, but you can see what it does. In the same way, you can't see the Holy Spirit, but you can see what the Holy Spirit does in the lives of men and women. On the day of Pentecost, the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the disciples was seen, because the Spirit transformed them from being timid and ineffective to being powerful and bold in their proclamation of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. the Holy Spirit in their lives, totally transformed them and made them new, giving them power to do what beforehand they were too scared to even contemplate. And right after those who heard Peter's sermon and were baptized, what did they do? Later verses in chapter 2 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, they gathered together as a community to hear the word and celebrate Holy Communion. That is where the miracle of Pentecost continued to be enjoyed and realized in the church, then and now. We may not have wind and fire today, but we are here, gathered in the name of Jesus, doing those very things that the church has done since that first Pentecost. And that means that the Holy Spirit is being present among us now, just as it was then. If the point of Pentecost is the gift of the Holy Spirit, then the result of Pentecost is sharing the good news of the gospel with all people. You have everything you need to go and share your faith. Everything you need to be the church, the body of Christ, in the world, because you have the Holy Spirit. There won't be any violent wind or fire today, at least I hope not. Nothing has changed. In all these many years, we are here for the same reason the church has always gathered together. May we continue to respond to the ever-present call of the Holy Spirit, who gathers us, enlightens us, and makes us holy, the whole Christian church, now and forever. Amen.